You're listening to the RX Podcast, brought to you by Drug, supplying healing frequencies through conversations in music, art, and culture. What's up, everybody? We got a really special guest today on the show. Big Stowe, born Michael Stover. He's a writer, author, is an MC, is a speaker, and a co-owner of Everybody's Hip Hop label. His beginnings as a journalist go all the way back to the age of 16, covering the Gen 6 protests and reviewing hip hop music. Now, he can be found working on the latest edition of his book series, The Boom Bap Review, Volume 2, which is out in November. And he's working to help artists young and old. That's actually how I became in contact with Big Stowe, established for brand new artists to navigate their ever-changing industry. You can follow him on Twitter, Big Stowe, at Big Stowe for Daily Keys, or Instagram, So The Last. Really, it's been impactful just watching him tweet, you know, every day the same types of content, but really different and very practical tools helping artists get a website, highlighting, you know, really hidden gems in the industry still, like Bandcamp and things that are kind of forgotten, but really practical things that artists need to put in play, whether that's creating video content, et cetera. And so you want to make sure you're following him if you're an artist or even a creative, and it's really beneficial, I believe, to your business. So please welcome today to the show, Michael Stover, Big Stowe. Yeah, thanks for joining the show today. This is Michael Stowe, everybody, Big Stowe, or Stowe the Last Lyricist as well. Writer, author, MC, label owner, and he's come to really, I think, just drop some practical tools and keys for us in regards to, you know, independent musicians, maybe even musicians that are signed, because, you know, even the game doesn't stop there. And also tell us about more about his book and kind of his thoughts on the industry as it, you know, really pertains to 2020. We're in the middle of such a different year, man. And so a lot of the, some of the keys that you might've dropped, you're like, okay, the climate shifted, but I've been following you for a long time on Twitter the last year or so. I got in touch with you through Taste Creators, and it's really been a good thing for me. I've gained a lot of knowledge. So if you guys aren't following Big Stowe on Twitter, make sure that you do so. Every day dropping knowledge for musicians and really even for creative business owners. You know, it doesn't just stop with a musician or a producer. It's someone who is trying to do anything creative. A lot of tools, I think, that you can implement in your business. So, you know, one of those things, obviously, specifically, we'll be talking about the music business today, but I wanted to kind of just ask a few questions and we can just have a combo about the music landscape in 2020. Number one, the big question I have, and one of the things I've always wondered and also young artists talk to me about is, you know, how to either get signed or, you know, is it relevant to be signed to a label in 2020? And I think that's a big question because, you know, in the 90s, when, you know, 20 years, 30 years ago, that was the only way to make it in music. And now, you know, we see through the internet and streaming, things like that. But talk to me about the benefits of being not signed to a label, or like, is that something that we should even be thinking about, you know, in 2020? And I know you're an independent label owner, but talk to me about surviving as an independent artist and some of the thoughts that you have that you feel like are super important for independent artists to capitalize on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really just kind of comes down to what is best for you while simultaneously kind of understanding the bigger picture. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting signed to a label as long as it's the right label. In a lot of cases, cats are getting signed. I was just talking to an artist the other day who signed to a deal and, you know, lost a lot of rights to their own music. That's kind of crazy to even, that's even a thing that we have to speak about, about whether or not an artist owns the rights to their music. That's absolutely insane. And here's the thing, like, yes, we look back in the past and we see other artists have success through labels and whatnot. But what we don't really talk about is how many legends, mainstream artists, independent artists alike, that all just get absolutely destroyed by their labels. there's a reason why there's a lot of printed music that we don't have access to right now. That's kind of crazy if you really think about it. Same with, you know, Michael Jackson and some of these other legends. There's music that we will literally never be able to hear because a certain label or a certain company has bid on that music, and they are choosing how they want to release that music so they can make a profit. Not so the family can make a profit, not so a charity or a foundation, you know, literally so the label can make a profit. So again, it's really just about understanding what's best for you at the time. You know, I look at labels like Mellow Music Group. I look at labels like Elect that make sure and allow artists to kind of have that creative freedom. I think that's what's most important. Even with my label, it's kind of what I base ours off of. It's not about clout chasing. It's not about, you know, Billboard charts or whatever. It's about taking the time to genuinely build a community, build the engagement, so that when it's time to push a product, it's not this surprise. It's not us begging, hey, please, please listen to my music. It's more of, hey, like, we have this product that we're pushing, and because you've walked with us this whole time, we don't even have to really beg you to press play. You're waiting for us to drop.
Right.
So when it comes to labels, to just sum it all up, take the time to read everything and take the time to make sure that you own the music. Take the time to understand if you're making that profit, because once you sign that dotted line, the minute you deviate from that, you can get in a lot of trouble. And we've seen it time and time again.
Well, I think that also too, you bring up, you know, a great point, because I feel like it's on the responsibility of the artist anyway to grow their career, whether you're signed to a label or not. A lot of times you see artists get signed to a label and then they literally disappear into oblivion and you never hear from them again. You know, I think about artists like, I don't know, you know, just one hit wonders. And I mean, I hate to name drop people because I don't want to embarrass anyone.
Right.
But I just think there's even artists too that have released music, got a following, and then after a while the label just decides they're not going to release their stuff anymore. So they're frustrated. They want to get out of their deal. I think it really puts the emphasis on getting signed on a label doesn't mean your career is like you've made it. It just means you've just begun. Like, you've got to still put in the work, and the label's going to prioritize the artist workers and people that are going to bring in revenue. And also they're going to help you, you know, build your career if you actually have the work ethic. But talk to me about that, because you've been dropping some keys and real practical tools. And I've been following some of these. One of them obviously is, you know, kind of infamously, get a website. You know, you know, I actually, you know, created, I had a website, but it wasn't really that great. And I realized I got to invest in a better website. You know, obviously I was following. So I think between a website and some other top keys, like, what are those main keys that if anybody can, like, if a young artist listens to this, they're like, hey, what are the top four things I really need to do? Like, yeah, you do need to get a website. Talk to me about some of the benefits of that website. And then some of those other maybe top three or four keys that we really need to grab away with. Because I want people to run away with some practical things today. I need to get a website and I need to do what else, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, I'd love to use yourself as an example where it's like, listen, throughout the course of your career, whether you've changed lanes, you've changed names, whatever, you've gone through a lot of stuff to get to the point that you're at right now. You've toured, you've performed, you've released rough drafts, you've released albums, you've deleted music maybe, you've done all of this stuff. And here's the thing, like with social media, yes, it's so easy to hop on social media and type something up real quick and hit send. But you absolutely must understand that the half-life of almost anything on social media is about 24 hours. So by just simple math and kind of just logic or whatever, let's say, and I actually love to use myself as an example as well. I have 8,000 followers. I know for a fact all 8,000 of my followers will not see a tweet that I post just because I posted it. So if you're relying on that one tweet to carry your entire album as you keep retweeting it and retweeting it and retweeting it and sharing the same link over and over again, you're kind of just going to end up running in circles. And at the same time, you're kind of just capturing one moment in your career when you have this entire journey that you've gone through and all this stuff that you've done that you should be proud of. But like, I'd be looking at some artists sometimes and it's like, I don't see anything that you've ever done. I can't, and it's impossible to figure it out because all that most artists have is an Instagram and a Twitter or whatever. And then I'm not going to take the time to scroll through your Instagram and go through your, you know, all that stuff. On a website, you can compact all that stuff into one spot. Now I get it. I can already hear people already in the future. There's a disturbance like in the timeline. People watching this episode in the future. Why would I even get a website? There's no point. I don't even use websites. Well, here's the thing. You use a website every damn day, even if it's your inbox, even if it's Twitter, even if it's Facebook. Those are all websites, people. If you're buying products online, I know we're in a pandemic right now, so I'm sure people are, I know I'm using online shopping like nobody's business. I ain't going out there. So you're using a website for that, whether you want to admit it or not. And then when you look at it from a music standpoint, I get it. Oh, who even uses those? Go on almost any label website or any popular artist website. We just saw this with Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion with WAP. Cardi B's website literally crashed because so many people were trying to, because she was funneling that many people into one spot to get a product. She's like, hey, I have a product. I know you want it. You can only get it from me. You can't get it from Spotify. You can't get it from Apple Music. You can't get it from anywhere else. You have to buy it from me because that way I get the profit or the label or whatever. And so, like I said, her website crashed because of this. Another example, whether we talk about Bandcamp or whether we talk about, you know, whatever, like Westside, it happens with every Westside Gunn release that comes out physically. Bandcamp literally crashes because everyone is rushing to try to get that product first. That's the type of engagement and the type of rush that you're trying to get. So let me, I'm sorry, I'm blabbing about the website. Let me go on to the other four keys real quick. My first one is, yo, make a plan and get organized. It is not enough to have a finished, because here's the thing. You've taken all this time. Some of you guys have taken 6 months, 8 months, 5 years to craft your life's work. Why on earth would you only spend 2 weeks beforehand, drop it, then take another 2 weeks to maybe promote it, and then when the numbers don't roll in, you just toss it aside for the next project? It pain, and like people get really frustrated when I say stuff like this, but like it genuinely pains me when I see artists do that, because I know there's so much that could be done with so much work that's, or content and work and all this stuff that artists are doing, but they aren't taking advantage of that content. So take more time to get organized, plan out the content that you want to get out there, and don't be discouraged by numbers, because it's all kind of just a farce. Again, I have 8,000 followers on Twitter, but the majority of my keys usually don't be getting more than like 100 likes or something like that. So like, it's easy to look at that and be like, oh no, why would I even bother? There's no point. But I guarantee with every single, you know, person that isn't necessarily engaging, they are either. So I hear it all the time. People screenshotting my shit, putting it up on Instagram and keeping it for themselves so that they can use it down the line. Somebody showed me an entire folder of just screenshots of all my keys. And I'm just like, mother of God, what I, but so having all of this content in one spot helps. And then number four, my fourth key would probably be, here we go, is like with social media branding. I see so many cats just kind of using social media like every other human being. But when you're an artist, you have to understand that you're a business now. You're pushing, your album is a product. Your merchandise is a product. You have to move like that. And because here's the thing, like if someone hears your song on Spotify or Tidal or whatever, and then they hop over to your social media, and they can't even tell whether or not you're a rapper or a singer or you make websites or you're a producer or whatever, they're just going to bounce back out. And then you've lost a potential, you know, fan, follower or whatever. So making sure that your branding is on point and it accurately represents who you are as a person and as a business is important.
I love that. I think that's also kind of leads me to my next question. Like, what do you feel like some, like the major pitfall is? Because it seems like, you know, treating social media, and like, I think the major pitfall is probably not treating yourself like a business. Like, you know, a lot of artists get into music, whether that's hip hop or R&B or country or pop, and they're looking for someone else to do something for them, but you don't realize you're actually starting a business. You are a product, and you are a business, and you got to roll that way or you're not going to bring in money. And so it's just going to be a hobby for you.
Right.
You're actually going to make a living being a musician. And I think that What would you say is that kind of a major pitfall that you see with artists? And it's not just maybe posting like I've seen you say, you know, like careless on Twitter, saying things, you know, like your Twitter feed is just totally random, and it's, you're just cussing people out about, you know, the Cowboys, and you're, you know, stuff like, you're not really talking about your art or your, you know, what's the difference between showing people, you know, who you are and having some personality, but also like a common pitfall of like going, you know, missing out on the business aspect.
Right. Well, and it kind of just comes down to, like, for me, and I'm going to try to tie in a bunch of stuff into one thing, is like, if you're doing everything that you should be while you're making a project, and that means, you know, you're okay. Here's a better way to explain it. So when I first started doing music and I first started rapping, I was doing all this stuff or whatever. Of course, everyone wants to blow up. Everyone wants that recognition and stuff like that. And so while, yes, I was planting my link in where I could and stuff like that, I also, like you just kind of said, I was just kind of retweeting stuff that I liked and, you know, just saying all types of random stuff. And I still do that to an extent. But if you look at my timeline nowadays, yes, you'll see me kind of just retweet random stuff and just stuff that I like, whether it's gaming or, you know, pictures or whatever. But when you come to my timeline, you automatically can tell, oh, wait, this dude's about something different that isn't just about, you know, sports or video games or whatever. Because here's the thing. But, and that's the thing as well, is that all that does come out. You see that I'm into video games. You see that I'm a Cavs fan and I'm into the playoffs and all that other jazz. But for the most part, you're also able to see that I'm dropping advice and I'm dropping keys. And I kind of mentioned this earlier today, actually, is that I don't like to talk about branding as just like this, because I hate that word. Like, oh yeah, let's work on our branding, guys. Like, let's make sure your branding's together. Like, it's just such a, to me, it's an empty word. What I like to say is like, get your personality out there. And that includes what you're doing as an artist. That is part of you as a person. And that's what connects us. You know, yes, with Kendrick Lamar and Megan Thee Stallion and all these other artists, yes, we absolutely love their music. We think they make creative music and drop hot bars and all this other stuff. But it's always, always, always the extra stuff that draws us together with the artist. Whether it's like, I think about this interview that Kendrick dropped as soon as To Pimp a Butterfly came out. It was like almost an hour long or whatever. I think he sat down with Rob Markman, actually. And they just literally just had this conversation about almost anything. It wasn't just about the album, but it was about everything. And that's what connects us to people like that. Even with Megan Thee Stallion, you know, all this stuff that she's been going through. And even before all that, she was always hopping on lives and showing her personality and just putting herself out there. I remember people flipping a lid when she was posting anime stuff and like, you know what I mean? But we see her personality in everything that she does. It's not just about, oh, I drop hot bars and, you know, I can beat your favorite rapper or whatever. They show us pieces of themselves all the time. And I do like Kendrick is not the best example because obviously as of late, he hasn't been saying much, but when he is gearing up to say a lot, you already know that he's about to drop something huge. Right. So yeah.
Great. I think it's important to share yourself. I think it's also important too to make sure you are guarding your mental health in these days as well, and that you're not having to perform for the internet. And that, you know, hey, if you feel like checking out or you know, just being vulnerable, you don't have to like, you know, worry about your brand or worry about an algorithm. And make great art and be yourself, and people are going to love you for you, and then they're going to buy into you, you know, no matter what you do. And so. And that's another element that sometimes gets lost in the fray. You wrote a book, The Boom Bap Review. Talk to me about that and kind of how you see, I haven't read the book, so I'm going to check it out, but I'd love to, but I don't really know much about it. So I'd love for you kind of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my listeners. And even if you're not in, you know, the biggest, you know, old school hip hop head, you know, when I hear boom bap, I think, okay, a certain style of hip hop that is, you know, not as necessarily mainstream. Talk to me about that. And then also maybe what you feel like the industry shift is going to happen in the next couple of years. Like, cause I'm sure as you have another book coming out too, as well. Right. Talk to me about that. I'd love to hear kind of like what your thesis was on Boom Bap Review what it's going to be on this next book, and maybe kind of how you see the industry shifting and what are some major changes.
Right. Absolutely. And Absolutely. We're up to Mike Squires. I really appreciate the kind words. The second book is just Boom Bap Review Volume 2. It's a yearly series with myself, MC Till, and Bo Brown. And then Joe Thomas is also on the label, but he doesn't write the book or whatever. It really just comes from us wanting to cover hip hop. I started my whole journey in hip hop as a journalist, and I'm still one or whatever. But you know, when I was 16, I was writing album reviews. And I did that because I wanted to write about records that I felt like people were sleeping on. And that's always, for the last 14 years, mother of God, that's always been what my journey with album reviews has been. So with this, we just have felt that album reviews are just turning more and more fake. And, a lot of good music is just getting lost. And so we really wanted to make a book that allowed us to just compile 100 albums. And now when we say boom bap, I think a lot of people get mixed up and think that we're just talking about, oh yeah, boom bap, original raps. Like, yeah, sure, that's part of it. But we really just want to open the door to independent artists is really what it is. Independent hip hop, rather. So actually, I think I have a copy. Yeah, there it is. Boom. Yeah, Boom Bap Review, Volume 1. Volume 2 will be out in November. But yeah, we just wanted to cover 100 records. Because hopefully in an ideal world, you grab the book and, you just flip to any page and you can find a record that maybe you haven't heard before. Hop on Spotify and hopefully we can make you a fan of it. That's honestly all it is. The first half of the book genuinely is just our 100 albums that we enjoyed. And then in the latter half, myself, Bo, and MC, Till, we all just write reviews about what we felt that year. I myself, I wrote about Fly Anakin's debut album, what he considered to be his debut album, I guess, at the end of the day. And then Uncle John, he released The Face of Jason earlier this year. I wrote a review on that. And then I will be working on my retrospective of Little Brother's The Minstrel Show, because it's celebrating, 15 years or something like that? So yeah, it's just encompassing that history because, again, it's the same thing with the music. If you leave everything in the cloud, it's going to disappear. That cloud is not going to be there forever. We've seen so many security breaches and just all this other shit. So we want to solidify the history of hip hop in book form. And we really feel like the Boom Bap Review is that. It's not really about us forcing our opinion on you or anything like that. We just want to tell you how we feel about some records. And, in an ideal world, we hope that you guys, read the book and damn, I missed out on a lot of music. Let me hit play on some of this. That's all it is.
Yeah, I love that because, the lost era of actual honesty from, journalists telling us what they really felt about an album is kind of lost a little bit. I mean, we're seeing a little bit of this now, though, on Twitch, people live streaming and kind of just giving quick live, song reviews. Talk to me about where do you kind of see the actual journalistic elements shifting in the next couple of years? Because, you've got Spotify investing in podcasts. You've got just a changing landscape.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's where do you kind of see this going? What do you think that musicians or artists could really invest for the future? What's the play that they need to invest in? Is it paying people to dance on TikTok? I'm serious. Because right now, if you don't do that, your song's not going to hit. I mean, what are the things that you really need to be doing to get a great return on investment in the next couple of years? Because I know you can kind of see what has happened in the last 10 years in music. What do you think the next 5 to 10, especially after this pandemic, is going to do? Or where do you need to double down on? Is it Twitch? Is it YouTube? Is it TikTok? What are those elements that you feel like we need to double down on?
Right. So, listen, I mean, when it comes to stuff like this, because I get questions like this all the time, so what's the next thing? Is TikTok the next thing? And to an extent, right, it kind of was. But at the same time, in that same breath, you have people who naturally kind of blew off of TikTok or whatever, but just as quickly, right? We've already seen scammers try to take advantage of that platform and stuff like that. And we've seen, you know, not just scammers in terms of trying to get artists to pay for XYZ, but also in terms of viral users trying to pay for content and stuff like that. So it's just like when a platform kind of gets muddled like that, it's hard to kind of get an organic feel out of it, I guess is what I'm saying. And so my thing is, the number one thing, and I mean this, if you're playing this, like, I don't care if you got to pause, if you got to pee, you got to do something, do it now, because we're about to go in real quick. I'm just kidding. But invest in yourself, people. It's not about a certain platform. It's not about, you know, XYZ. Because a lot of the tips that I've been given for years are still valid now. It's just we've moved into a cycle where now YouTube, things like YouTube and live streaming and selling your album digitally makes more sense because we are inside. And, you know, a lot of us, like, good God, even in this setup right now, I'm in my living room. I have like all my work stuff, like right in front of me right here. I have like stuff all over the place. We're not in the most ideal situation right now. And so there's nothing wrong with showing those imperfections because we're all imperfect and none of these situations are perfect right now. So what I mean by investing in yourself, now's the time to be experimenting. Now's the time to be diving into those, like I said on Twitter earlier today, dive into those archives. Some of you guys have done so much cool shit, but that I want to see that it's me being selfish. I want to see what you guys have done that I missed out on, but I can't because people are just kind of wait. Like, some people are waiting for something to happen. I think that's honestly what it is. I remember when things kind of broke down in March. And I remember a lot of people freaking out and being like, oh, well, that's it. I'm not dropping no music. I'm not doing nothing. We're shutting it down until it comes back on. Well, guess what, guys? Things might not be back on till 2022. We're just gonna sit around until 2022? As you know, and as most people in the industry know, I dare an artist to just kind of sit around for the next year and a half and see if they can just come back on the scene. Like, if you're popular, bang, cool, I get it. But if you're just growing your platform and you're just starting off, there's no way on earth you can just say, like, I'm going to take the next year off and just not do anything. And then when things open up, I'm just going to get right back into it. Squire says that he was on tour when COVID hit. Dude, yeah, I had so many plans this year, and artists had plans and their teams had plans, all types of stuff. Already getting emails about torn beat. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. Like, it's not safe to be in those situations right now, but here's the thing. You can still profit. You can still gain fans. You can still make money during this time. There's no need to give up because, again, like, we're all, like, if anything, this pandemic, from an industry standpoint, I'm not talking about financially and obviously all the other bullshit that's going on, but if you're a musician, it levels the playing field for all of us because it's no longer about, oh shit, well, who got the best connect, you know, for the venue here? The venue's right here in your house right now. Are you going to use the platform or are you going to wait for someone to give you permission to do what you've been saying that you wanted to do this entire time? So that's what I'm saying. Invest in yourself. And here's the other thing. I was telling the client this the other day. Like, before things shut down, we were all kind of running the rat race and doing our thing and trying our best to try to get ahead and do whatever. That race is now paused in the actual timeline. But if you're working during this next year and a half, you're choosing to continue to run that race while everything in hindsight is on pause. Touring is paused, venues are closed, all this other stuff is on pause right now. All the work that you're doing now to get to 2022 is going to shoot you ahead. And then when things do open back up, you're ready to go. I can't wait to see how many people that you know, because I've seen it already. Oh, well, I got a website, but I'm not seeing many results. You wait until things open back up. All people need to see is a website that correctly chronicles everything that you've done with your highlights and all this other stuff. And you're in the door. It's not hard. It was not hard to get shows before, and it's not going to be hard when things open back up because all these venues are going to need that business. So it's all about setting yourself up now so that down the line, like, yeah, I get it, guys. building a website sucks. It's not fun. It's not going to get you paid immediately and stuff like that. I get it. Getting a link tree sounds kind of boring. You know, I don't like doing the business side of things either. But guess what? I'm going to tell you what. When that money starts rolling in, I guarantee you that marketing is going to come a lot more fun, because then you know when another circuit comes around, you're going to know what to do. And that check's going to roll in. You're like, shit, I should be doing this all along. And that's all I want for artists, is just to see that preparing yourself and investing in yourself as a business is what will help you make the money and get a profit and gain fans and all that stuff for the long run.
Love that, man. Well, I think, you know, and that kind of brings us to, you know, really just to wrap this all up in one nutshell, is that, you know, if you're an artist out there and you're trying to, you know, get more followers or fans, that's really, you know, should be your number one thing, is not trying to get signed, not trying to have someone else do something for you. I think a lot of people are waiting for a manager. I need a manager. Well, you don't need a manager or anything to manage, you know, like you just invest in yourself. Like, instead of spending $150 on like a playlist, like push, which is not going to get you.
Oh my God, no. Like,
you're spending $100 on like a console with Taste Creators, you know what I'm saying? And like actually getting your website together and like getting a plan together for a 30-day period to figure out how you can master your social media and get everything in line. Cause you know, it's like at that point, like you're going to be able to actually like profit money. Like you're going to get booked for shows. You're going to get, you know, collaborations, cause other artists are going to start taking you seriously, and you might, you know, have a great cosign. There's opportunities that are come your way if you actually take yourself seriously as a business. And so, you know, I just think, you know, obviously you don't have to give a shameless plug. I'll tell you guys, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you need to hit up Big Stow. You need to hit up, you know, Taste Creators and really sit down for a consult session. Cause I think that's kind of the big key that you're missing. Like if you're like, well, man, I can't, you know, get any numbers yet, or I'm not getting any streams, or I don't know how I can even get people to buy my album. Like, how am I going to grow a fan base? How am I going to get booked at shows? You know, and you're always looking from the outside in. The difference between you and that person that's getting all those opportunities is literally they've either got a team around them, right? And there's some money behind it, or they've chosen to invest in themselves and they're doing it themselves. And they've been able to, you know, make the most of their opportunities by actually investing in themselves and not throwing money down the drain. And so, yeah, man, I think those are really practical tools. And some good things. Anything last words you kind of have to say? I don't want to hold people too long, but anything else you kind of is the parting ways, you know, for any artists or musicians out there that are really looking to take it to the next step.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, well, first off, follow me on Twitter at Big Stow, because you know you already know what it is. You know, get a damn website. You know,
this guy,
I'm already saying. But honestly, guys, like I know it's rough right now. Like it's rough all around, and I know on top of personal stuff. The world outside is just looking wild, but I'm telling you right now, this is no time to give up. All of you guys, whether you're watching this now or you're watching this in the future or you're watching this in another timeline, I don't know what the future has, guys, geez. But I just want you guys to understand that you can get where you want to get in terms of success as an artist. You don't need clout. You don't need to be verified. You don't need Complex to write about you. You don't need all this other stuff. You need to believe in yourself and invest in yourself. Everything that you're doing as you're creating your project and stuff like that, save it. I don't care if it's pictures. I don't care if it's screenshots of your session. Save it all. It's all worth it. It's all content. Again, don't give up on yourself. We need you guys. We need artists. People are losing their minds out here. I don't know what's going on, yeah. But we need artists. So keep going. Keep fighting the good fight, honestly.
You heard it here. Great words from Big Stow, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to log on here. I know everybody's kind of on IG saying what's up. And man, it's really – these are great tools. And so I'm going to share this with as many people as I can. If you're listening to this, follow Big Stow on Twitter, or also Stow the Last on Instagram. But you can find the links to, you know, his book, Boom Bap Review, there. And also – actually drop him a tip for all of the keys that he just dropped as well. So check out his website and everything he's got going there, and actually hire him as well, because if you're an artist, you're looking to go to the next step. I want to tell you this, and I've done it myself. I've invested in, you know, coaching, tools, some of these things, websites, and it's really, it takes you to the next level. I'm a living example of it. And I think that it's about getting yourself prepared for 2021. It's not just sitting back and saying, well, man, I don't have all the equipment, or I don't have all the team or the money. And you've got the work ethic, you can get it done. And so, and it's the guy, you know, these guys that help you get there. So, looking forward to your keys, man.
I appreciate you having me, man. Honestly, thank you so much.
All right, man. It was great talking to you. We'll talk soon.
Word up.
Appreciate it.